Welcome back again to BadQuaker.com podcast. This is another special edition podcast for Thursday, September 8th, 2011. I'm Ben Stone, and Kai is not with me. Another solo podcast. I have two specific reasons I'd like to talk to you. One is very dear to my heart. It's an organization that I'm sure you're familiar with, the Ludwig von Mises Institute. Have you ever had a friend who was in trouble? That friend is the kind of person that's not going to beg or not going to ask around or not going to make a big deal about the trouble that they're in. But when you see that they need help, you want to try to help them as much as you can, even if they don't ask. Right now, a lot of things are going on in the liberty movement. We see two major candidates for the presidency, one being Ron Paul. Of course, he is the 800-pound gorilla in the room right now that the Republican Party has to deal with. And we also have Gary Johnson, a great guy. He's a former governor and a good solid libertarian running for the presidency. I'm sorry, but he has absolutely no chance whatsoever. But he is making a statement, and that's good. Ron Paul almost has a chance, at least at getting the Republican nomination. And if he gets the Republican nomination, he might be able to beat Obama. However, there's a problem. Assuming Ron Paul can overcome the insurmountable odds he faces within his own party, and assuming he could actually win the Republican nomination, and assuming he could actually beat Obama and take the presidency, there's a friend of all of ours, a friend of Ron Paul's, who is in a bigger trouble than what most people realize. Let me twist this in a different direction, and let me take this in a completely different way. Almost a year ago, some people sat down and talked about a new website. And those people decided that it was worth investing some money and developing a website and giving a voice. And the voice was mine. Now, BadQuaker.com cost totally, and this is including hosting, this is including the entire hosting package for a year, this is including securing the domain name, this is including purchasing the audio equipment involved and the software to process the files with. Everything total for BadQuaker.com. When you type in BadQuaker.com and you go to BadQuaker.com and you download files and all the pictures you see and all the files you see, everything costs less than $400. $400 that was the gift of a person very close to me. In addition to that financial gift, friends from across the U.S. helped set up BadQuaker.com. This included technical support from people in California, moral support from friends in Texas, Minnesota, Georgia, North Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, and sound advice from my friend in Arkansas. And so altogether, all these people from all these places provided for me BadQuaker.com so that I can speak to you. Ah, I almost forgot my friend in Alaska. Thanks. You know who you are, BP. And in Pennsylvania, and even a friend in Kentucky and one in West Virginia. I'm not forgetting you guys. Providing encouragement, moral support, and sometimes my friends up in New Hampshire just providing me with a funny picture to look at. Right, Kirk? So all together, all of us, we have made BadQuaker.com. And right now, we're looking at about 1,000 downloads per episode that we produce. And Kai helps me out with one episode a week, and then I do audio articles, usually 3 or 4 additional episodes per week. We have our regular listeners in Canada, Here in the U.S., in Germany, Australia, South Korea, Hong Kong, and even Costa Rica. And all that because of a measly $400 donation. Now, you might think, well, Ben's getting ready to hit us up for a donation to help keep BadQuaker.com. No. We're doing good. Everything at BadQuaker.com is paid for well into 2012. I'm not asking for one penny. However, a lot of people are sending a lot of money to Ron Paul right now. And I can't say that's bad, but I can't say that's good either. I'd like for you to consider that without the Ludwig von Mises Institute, you might not know who Ron Paul is. Ron Paul has these money bombs, and Ron Paul has made the headlines with single-day donations coming from every direction, including massive support from the U.S. military. But the Ludwig von Mises Institute sits quietly in the background. So how about if you take a moment and click the link on BadQuaker.com that takes you to the Ludwig von Mises Institute. And I'm not asking that you give them money, although that would be nice. The button's right there on their website. What I'm asking for you to do is click the button that says Store on the top of the Ludwig von Mises Institute website. Click the button that says Store, and you will see a variety of products that are available for you to buy at the Ludwig von Mises Institute bookstore. By purchasing a book from the Ludwig von Mises Institute, you will be supporting liberty. If you want to support Ron Paul, go to the Ludwig von Mises Institute and buy a Ron Paul book. You'll support Ron Paul, and you'll support the great institution that allowed Ron Paul to be who he is today. Now keep in mind, I don't get one nickel from the Ludwig von Mises Institute. As a matter of fact, I give money to the Ludwig von Mises Institute. Whenever I can, I buy a book from the Ludwig von Mises Institute. So this is a completely free endorsement on my part. I don't get any kind of kickback. I don't get any kind of, there's no link dollars that pay me for any people who click on the link to the Mises Institute's website. Nothing like that. I don't get one penny. Nothing. As a matter of fact, they probably won't even know that I'm endorsing them in this podcast. But with all the money right now going to Ron Paul's campaign, the Ludwig von Mises Institute is struggling, and they need your help. Now, that's only half of the reason why I'm doing a podcast today without Kai as a backup. The other thing I wanted to talk about was racism and bigotry and small-mindedness within the libertarian and the anarcho-capitalist community. It's a funny thing, really. I used to sit in a cubicle, it seems like ages ago, in Evendale, Ohio, in an aircraft engine development engineering facility. And the gentleman that sat right next to me for a good period of time was one of the most blatant racists that I've ever known. And yet he had no clue that he was a racist. But everybody that knew him knew that he was, indeed, a racist. He had these odd little comments that we could all see through. Bigotry is similar, although bigotry is not based necessarily upon race, although it can be based on race. Bigotry is often based on things like culture or religion or some other aspect like that that a person finds the need to single a person out and judge them according to a group rather than according to their individual merits. Oftentimes, I see this among anarchists. There's a deep-rooted hatred among some anarchists against anyone who's a theist. A theist being a person who accepts the possibility that there may be a deity of some kind. Not necessarily a Christian, not necessarily any particular brand of faith. Perhaps a pagan, perhaps a Muslim, perhaps Hindu. It doesn't really matter. But there seems to be within anarcho-capitalists this branch, this high-minded, self-centered bigot group that cannot accept the possibility that other people might believe different than they do when it comes to theism. Now, don't get me wrong, I have no problem with atheists. As a matter of fact, I get along really well with atheists as long as they are not bigots. And the same way, the atheists that I get along with get along fine with theists as long as the theists are not bigots. Because for every one atheist bigot, there are probably 100,000 theist bigots. And this is really sad, especially within a movement like the Liberty Movement, that we can't realize that people can be different. A movement based on individuality, and yet there are some who say, you can't be one of us unless you're one of us. And they attach things to that that have nothing to do with liberty. I'm not as surprised with libertarians in general when I see racists or bigots, because libertarians are it's a very wide net. It encompasses a lot of different people of different backgrounds and different ways of thinking. Unfortunately, libertarians have been accused of racism and bigotry when we're not guilty of it. It's just excuses from the left used to attack anyone who's, you know, not a leftist. But very often within the liberty movement, I do see racists and bigots, and it saddens me. But for some odd reason, I can accept libertarians a little easier than I can true anarcho-capitalists. When I see the anarcho-capitalist, who's very clearly a bigot, it hurts in a way. Because of the inconsistency in something that should be so consistent, anarcho-capitalism, based on the zero-aggression principle and property rights, leaves no room for bigotry. And yet, what do we do? What do we do with bigots and racists? Do we attack them? Do we try to force them to see things our way? Do we isolate them? None of the above. The bigot, who only wants theists as his friends, only wants Christians as his friends, only wants Muslims as his friends, only wants Jews as his friends, or wants to exclude Jews, or wants to exclude Christians, or wants to exclude Muslims. Each of these bigots has a place in the liberty movement. We can accept them with open arms as a part of our movement. On the other hand, we don't have to like them. We don't have to do business with them. It's not even necessary for us to shun them. But for those of us who are not bigots, and for those of us who are not racists, we can still point them out, and we can still choose not to do business with them, not to help them in times of need. They may understand many aspects of the liberty movement. They may follow strictly by the zero aggression principle. They may honor property rights, and they may still be a bigot or a racist. And we can make a place for them. We just don't have to support them. So where's all this coming from, you might be asking yourself? Well, actually, this little quiet rant is coming from an incident on Facebook where a bigot posted the following, quote, "I do not mean to offend, but it is the religious people, those in government and those who support government, that have done the most to damage society, abused more children, and slaughtered the most human life. So, if you don't mind, if you are religious, believe in God," in brackets, the letter S indicating God or gods, work in government in any capacity, or support government in any way, please unfriend me now. So this person posted this in Facebook, indicating that anyone who, in his eyes, is religious and believes in God or gods is equated with those who work in government in any capacity, support government in any way, and abuse children and slaughter human life. Now, not only is this stupid and ridiculous, but it is bigotry. Of course, I pointed out the person is a bigot, and this is bigotry. And immediately he said, oh no, it's not bigotry, and he made excuses, and then he unfriended me. I'm at such a loss. I don't know what I'll do. I just don't know how I can go on knowing that he has unfriended me. However, the fun part of this is that this individual, like the guy I used to sit next to in a cubicle in the aircraft engine industry, has no idea that he's such a jerk. He has no idea what he really is. He makes excuses in his mind, and he thinks, oh no, I'm not a bigot. I don't hate anyone. I just don't like those people who are different from me. I don't want to be around them. I don't want them to be around me. I don't trust them. They're different. Well, he's not a whole lot different than that guy who used to sit next to me in the cubicle, who used those same excuses. Oh, he's not a bigot. He's not a racist. He just doesn't like those dark people. He just doesn't like those people with that funny accent, speaking Ebonics and not knowing proper English. And it's the same thing. So as a libertarian, as an anarcho-capitalist, as an individualist, what do we do about people like this? Do we point them out and do we make a big deal about them? Do we humiliate them? Well, yeah, that's fun, but that may not be productive. What is productive is to allow them to be bigots. Allow them to be racist. Allow them to say any of the hateful, horrible things they say, and allow them to hide it in their mind with all the levels and levels of justification that they wallow in. But the truth is, in any free market situation, the best will come to the surface, and the truth will eventually win. I think of Walter Block in his book, Defending the Undefendable. Walter Block talks about allowing the racist businessman to do business and allowing him to go ahead and commit the blunders in business that racism or bigotry produce, because the market itself will punish him for that when left to the market processes. And that's the case in all situations that we face. We should allow the market processes to punish these people. We can point out that they're bigots. We can point out that they're racists. We can choose ourselves to do business with them or not do business with them. And we can leave them alone and let them be as they are. It's not necessary for us to try to force them to change, even though they want us to change. So then the question comes up, is there room in the liberty movement for racists, bigots, and for every other vile individual that we can think of? Sure there is. We just don't have to support them. If they want to support the liberty movement, then good for them. We just don't have to support them. We have the choice. And if we decide to support them, that's okay too. There's no judgment on that one way or the other. That's the thing about liberty. It's a two-way street. We're free to support who we want, why we want, when we want. And we're free to not support who we want, when we want, and why we want. Even if we're not supporting them for bigoted reasons. For more articles and podcasts on liberty, the zero aggression principle, and property rights, go to badquaker.com. And thank you for listening.